Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 101. And Dave, day one of the draft is behind us. And I have to tell you, it was an eventful day. I got a ton of thoughts. I know you got a ton of thoughts as well. This is going to be a fun one.
I didn't envision this one being a three-hour show, but it could vary if we let it, or if you let me. You know how I am. We could get there. We could probably run up until day two starts if you let me.
Yeah. So listen, as always, we want to thank all our listeners, and we know this is a big time of year. People hitting the show for the draft, and we know a lot of people take the off season off. Fair enough. But big push for some donations, and we don't ask often. And you know, Dave and the crew does an unbelievable job on the site. It's all for free. Of course, he's collecting the data like Facebook and selling it aggressively, but we don't talk about that at all. But we're making a big, terrible podcast donation push. So, you know, we bang out a couple hundred of these a year. And if it's in your good heart to help us out, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and on a kind of a similar note there, right, boy, Steelers Nation was on Twitter, as you would probably expect, for the first round of the draft Thursday night. And right before the draft started, I kind of threw out there, where is everybody following me from? And I tell you, David, it's such a sobering thing. You know, we do it on the podcast and get the emails and all like that. I didn't expect the reaction that I got on Twitter last night. But, oh, Lord, I mean, it just all the – and they're still coming in on Twitter, people chiming in. And once again, you know, not just, you know, United States, but really all over the globe and probably Mars and wherever else as Steelers fans travel, David, you know that. So we do this so often, and I'm online every day, and it's what I do, and sometimes you take for granted listenership and followers and readership and all like that. So I just want to make sure to take a moment here and thank all the listeners, wherever you may be, and my followers and readers of Steelers Depot as well. It really is, like I said, sobering to get that kind of response.
Okay, so let's get right into it. I'm going to give a 30-second overview. You give a 30-second overview, and then we'll do our two-hour chat about what went on. I have to tell you, very mixed feelings about the day. And Dave, much to your credit, and I know somebody asked you on Twitter about this earlier in the week about the Martavis Bryant thing, and you said, look, I went there earlier. Kevin Colbert said we're not going to do it, so, you know, there's no point in really discussing it. You were on this. You've talked about it. A lot of things you throw out, you know, so I dismiss a lot of them, but they're all well thought out, and they're all reasonable points. And you suggested a fourth round pick. I have to say, here's my quick take. From the fan and the fun perspective, very disappointed to see Martavis Bryant go. If I were Kevin Colbert and I got the phone call for the Martavis Bryant trade, I would have pulled the trigger in half a second. I mean, absolutely a good haul for the Steelers. Having said that, that's the positive part of the day. Didn't love the Steelers pick. It's not I don't love the player. It's not I don't like the player. I don't like the player, like everything else we talk about. It's like Le'Veon Bell. When I say I don't want to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term contract at $15 million a year, it's not I don't love the player. I don't love the terms of the contract for the player and the situation. I don't love this guy at this pick at where they got him. Okay, so my overall reaction to day one is I wanted the Steelers to move back out of the first round if the guys weren't there. Their guys weren't there. I would have liked to see them move back. We saw Lamar Jackson go at the end of the round. There was a bunch of trades made. I don't love how the Steelers handled that. I do love how they handled the Martavis Bryant thing. So I give them kind of a passing grade on the night, but it wasn't my favorite night.
I don't know what you're giving me credit for with the Martavis Bryant.
You threw the idea out there months ago about, you know, Martavis Bryant for a fourth rounder. You said you would do it in a second. You would do it in a second. And you know, most people weren't on that train as something that was a reasonable thought. And you were right.
Well, I mean, even so, no way did I think that would happen. In fact, when the report, and I guess this starts playing into my 30 seconds, which I think you used 90. Dan Graziano had the report on ESPN. It looked just like a total reach. Fluff piece, and I wrote about it. I mean, look, ESPN gives me things to write about. I'm going to write about them. I did, and I pretty much shot the idea down that foolish, basically in so many words to suggest it. I went into reasons why and said, look, Kevin Colbert pretty much shot this thing down emphatically during the combine. You know, we've received calls about Martavis Bryant. Push comes to shove, and we'll recap. I'm sure we're going to get into each one of these things. You want me just to recap today? I think stunned is the best way to describe myself about the whole day, starting with the Martavis Bryant trade. I did not see that coming at all. Second, Ryan Shazier. We'll get into all that. Shock to see him walk with the help of his fiance and all across the stage and announce the Steelers' first round pick. As far as the Steelers' actual selection of Terrell Edmonds went, I am medium okay on it, but not. Not the round, and we'll obviously get into this more in depth. Why I am sort of okay on it here, you know, later in the show. But stunned is the best way to describe what transpired with the Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night.
Okay, so good stuff. let's you know, I know everybody wants to hear our take on everything all Steelers. Let's go to the top of the draft, and so one of the things that I talk about. I like talking about the draft and mocking the draft and thinking about the draft as much as anybody. This is why all the shit you see out there is meaningless, because somebody does one thing or somebody's good at keeping their cards close to the vest, and it changes everything. There's nobody in the world who got the first four picks of a mock draft right. There's not one person on the planet. And I would venture to say 95% of the people didn't get the first pick right. Might have got the second pick right, but if you didn't get the first pick right, then you probably didn't get the third pick right, and nobody got the fourth pick right. The draft is, and that's what makes it so much fun. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't speculate and talk about all this stuff, but for me, again, it's when people look, use history as your guide to a point. But it's just to a point, because the sample sizes, we're talking about GMs in jobs and head coaches in jobs for a very short period of time. And unless you have a sample size of 30 drafts with the same GM and head coach, which you don't have for anybody ever, then your sample size isn't significant. So whenever people, you know, you just go back to the Artie Burns draft, Steelers haven't taken a corner in the first round, completely meaningless data because you don't have enough stuff. And, you know, Power 5 conference, you know, look, all that stuff, we can talk about it. But if you're a good GM and a good head coach, you have to do what you think is best for your team at the time. And we see the turnover at GMs and head coaches is so significant so often that, you know, we're all guessing at all this stuff. And, you know, credit John Dorsey, at least, for making it amusing for all of us, taking Baker Mayfield at the top of the draft. And I like the pick. But I don't know that, I don't have any better sense than anybody else about whether Baker Mayfield's going to be the best of the group of five quarterbacks that went in the first round or not. But it certainly made it fun, Dave, at the top of the draft. The Mayfield and then the whole debate about Saquon Barkley being the best player in the draft, but is there value at taking a running back at two versus you have a chance, and this is the beautiful thing. If you're a football fan, particularly if you live in New York City, you get to watch Saquon Barkley and you get to watch Sam Darnold in the same city and just get to compare the two. The Giants, they got a 37-year-old quarterback who I think sucks, and they could have picked the quarterback in the future. They take the running back to help him now, and you're right across the street. Basically, you're going to have the quarterback that you could have taken. So I thought the top of the draft was just – was brilliantly fun if you're a football fan.
I think in the first 60 seconds of that monologue there, you pretty much told me I need to shut Steelers Depot down in February and, and open it back up in August. My wife would probably be glad about if I did that. Of course, I don't know. She'd have quite a sight to come in here and see the chair kicked out with me hanging from the ceiling fan. But we mocked. Because that's what people want to do.
Exactly. They want to talk about it. And I want to talk about it. It doesn't make it not fun. It's just, that's just what it is. As long as everybody realizes it's fun and we just don't know.
And we YouTube scout because, it's fun to do. We want to try to learn.
That's a different thing. I think that's of great value. And I give, and I think – For those who listen, know that I don't get into this even remotely as closely to the level of depth that you and Alex do. And I think that for me, that's where I learn stuff. And look, I'm the first to admit I'm not sitting here watching YouTube tape of all the stuff. And for the stuff that you guys do and other guys out there do of that, that's great stuff.
And here's the thing, though, as much as we do that, we still don't know what happens behind closed doors. We still don't have but a fraction of the information that these teams do. We don't know what happens at these pro day dinners. We don't know what happens behind the closed doors at these combine interviews. We don't know all of the little, other intricacies that go along with the pre-draft process. And even judging tape, we don't know the play that's called. We think that we try to guess because of past learning experiences how. But yeah, I get what you're saying there, and yeah, you have it's like the March Madness. Why do we all fill out brackets? Somebody wants to try to prove that they know it better than somebody else.
I think.
I think that's the root. It's mono. Mono. Mono.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of thing. You're right. One or two picks right there at the top of the draft, especially when you have a team like the Steelers picking 28th. Boy, it can change it in a hurry. And even somebody, picking somebody, in the first round, like we've seen in the past, that really off the chart kind of thing can really change, reshape the whole rest of the picks that happen, that kind of thing. Trades, you don't know who's going to go up, who's going to go down, and that kind of thing on top of it. But it's part of what we do. But yeah, you're right. I doubt anybody had a perfect first four picks, let alone first 10.
Okay, so let's get into Martavis Bryant, and as I said, it will be less fun initially watching the Steelers this year without Martavis Bryant on the field because of what he can do. And I've referenced this too many times, and it's not probably even a good reference point. The Buffalo game in the preseason a couple of years ago before Martavis got suspended, where people have heard me make the Randy Moss comparison, and it looks silly now for sure. But I feel like he was the gifts, the physical gifts he had, and some of the off the field stuff. There was a comparison to draw, and obviously it looks, like I said, it looks silly to draw that comparison with a guy who's in the Hall of Fame, with a guy who just got traded for a third round draft pick. Although Moss did go for a fourth-round draft pick at one point along the way when he got traded to the Patriots. I wish the best for Martavis. I hope it goes well. He's not a great route runner. He didn't have the whole route tree. We can plug holes in a lot of things, but, Sammy Coates was Martavis Bryant light. Martavis Bryant, you hoped we were going to see the eight catch, 122 yards, kind of eight times a season on the good days. And, we didn't see it. We didn't see the 2017 season be anything kind of close to what, it looked like he was in shape. There wasn't a question about that. We just didn't see the progression. And I'm really, honestly, and I'm sure you are too, Dave, I'm not surprised John Gruden made a bold/crazy move like this, because there is upside. But it's a 1-year deal for Martavis Bryant. It's $1.3 million. The contract's no big deal. But you gave up a third round pick for a 1-year deal, which you might get, you know, a compensatory pick out of. It's a real heavy, heavy roll of the dice on the Raiders side. On the Steelers side, now the cupboard's completely bare, the wide receiver. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, you've got you've got the best receiver in the game, and you've got a second-year guy who had a really stunningly good rookie season. And then you got nothing. And so clearly today they're going to draft a wide receiver. I was a little surprised maybe that Cortland Sutton wasn't the guy that they took in the first round there once they'd moved Bryant. But overall, I give the trade a big thumbs up. But still, you know, like I said, it doesn't probably make sense to anybody but me, but still a level of disappointment in the deal. And it's more just disappointment that Martavis Bryant didn't become Randy Moss.
All right. Do you need to go to the bathroom or get a cold drink or anything?
I got a cold drink.
Because, I hope you got about 30 minutes.
You ready to go?
Hope you got about 30 minutes here. David, why would a Wookiee, an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, want to live on the planet Endor with a bunch of 2-foot-tall Ewoks?
Because he's the man.
That does not make sense, okay? So you could go with the flat-out Chewbacca defense here with why you would think that the Steelers would not want to trade him, and B, not be able to trade him. For one thing, let's look at the Oakland Raiders side of things, and you hit on it. You're getting a player that's only under contract right now through 2018, okay, and he's earning a little over $1.9 million right now, okay? So that's one thing. He's set to be an unrestricted free agent after the year. So that automatically means you've got to sign him to a long-term deal now. You absolutely have to, because if you don't, then you stand to lose him during the offseason to free agency at the cost of a third-round draft pick. Teams are not going to give away a third-round draft pick for a 1-year rental player. That, as Johnny Cochran would say, does not make sense. Okay, now let's look out at it on the Steelers side of things. And you hit on that too. Look at your depth chart. Now, this is obviously things are going to change here in day two of the draft and the rest of the draft and all. But now your depth chart is Antonio Brown. Almost called him Antonio Bryant. I saw an article written with Antonio Bryant just the other day. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Darius Heyward-Bey, and Justin Hunter. Okay. Now, obviously, you got other guys, but those, I mean, Hunter and Darius Heyward-Bey are your only experienced guys. And let's face it, you can make a solid argument right now that even those two guys aren't a lock to make the 53-man roster. So now you're leaving yourself now, not even knowing who you're going to draft. With a hole in your depth chart, and Martavis Bryant, you know, all of his problems aside, he's still a talented kid, I think. And God bless the Oakland Raiders if they can get a 70 reception, 1,100, 1,200 yards, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns at him. He's got it in him, okay? The Steelers, you know, and now to count, now to whole fact of getting a third round pick for him, I already stated why it looks kind of silly maybe on the Oakland Raiders side of things, but what did the Steelers spend? What round was Martavis Bryant originally drafted?
Fourth.
So you're selling them for a third.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless you, Kevin Colbert, you know?
Yeah. So just to fill out your point, you know, Hunter and Heyward-Bey had 6 catches between them for 70 yards. But between them, the two of them, Xavier Grimble had 5 catches last year. Now, a couple things. One is we've dismissed Eli Rogers a little bit. Now, Eli Rogers is fully back in the photo. So now I'm not suggesting that Eli Rogers is going to be your third best receiver at the end of the day, but Eli Rogers is back in the photo. That's point one. Point two is I haven't looked at the free agent list of wide receivers who are still out there. But all of a sudden, and it's not Dez Bryant, but all of a sudden, now you have to take a look back at the wide receiver picture of veteran wide receivers who might be out there, who can be your fourth or fifth wide receiver, and who might come at the vet minimum contract. That door is now back open. You're going to have to, cap issues, aside, I'll take all of that into account. But you have to now comb that list over again and think about what's going on. And it means today in this – I think we'll be absolutely shocked if the Steelers don't take a wide receiver tonight in the second or third round. I mean, there is just a gaping hole at that position with what they have right now. And you just wonder, I think we were both a little bit surprised that they re-signed Justin Hunter. The guy dressed for seven games. Like I said, he had four catches. He's not a special teams guy, but there's no harm in bringing him to camp at the vet minimum salary. But you wonder if there were some rumblings about possible Martavis Bryant deals. Again, this is in no way a knock at Kevin Colbert, but he flat out said he wasn't going to move Martavis Bryant. But when the terms change and you get an offer that you can't refuse, You got to go with what the best deal is. So they moved Martavis Bryant, but let's be clear: there is a massive hole at the position, and you wonder if this evening, maybe tight end and wide receiver are both on the table in terms of the Steelers draft.
Yeah, I'm floored by the whole thing. The whole aspect of it, and boy, it's going to be tough to. Maybe that was part of the deal. We're getting calls. We're not trading them. And evidently, to hear Reggie McKenzie talk, they've been working on trying to get Martavis Bryant from the Steelers for quite a while now. So, may God bless Kevin Colbert. We're not going to trade him. No, that's not good enough. Fifth rounder, we just hold on to him, let him walk off during free agency and get compensatory value and hopefully get about 70 receptions out of him along the way. He was fine last year after he had that outburst on social media. Yeah, he's a team player now. He just wants to have a good season, get out of town. Reggie McKenzie, nah, we're not dealing him. Phone rings, keeps ringing, and Reggie McKenzie on draft day says, look, the draft's here, man. this wide receiver class up top ain't all that, and John Gruden needs him a wide receiver, and he really likes Martavis Bryant. How about I give you a third-round draft pick for it? And I bet Kevin Colbert, about choked on his Diet Mountain Dew or whatever he drinks. So good on him. And you talk about grading it. Yeah, thumbs up for what they got. Maybe thumb right in the middle right now pending the draft as far as what the wide receiver depth chart looks like.
Yeah. And like I said, it probably hasn't been talked about enough, but put Eli Rogers back in the team photo, at least for now.
One other quick aspect about Martavis Bryant. I wrote about this morning as well, too. By trading Martavis Bryant, the Steelers did clear $1.352 million in salary cap space. So there is that. And now you don't have to worry about any more off-the-field problems with Martavis Bryant or locker room or whatever, he's gone.
Okay, so that's the Martavis side of things, and I think, obviously that catches all of us a little bit by surprise. There we go. Let's talk just for a second now before we get into the Steelers pick and do that. Let's talk about the top 10 picks and – Baker Mayfield, I don't think anybody until 24 hours before the draft, it was a question of Josh Allen versus Sam Darnold. The Browns go with Baker Mayfield. As a Steeler fan, do you have any view about the Browns taking Baker Mayfield at one?
I was a bit surprised by that. I thought Sam Darnold was going to be the pick, to be quite honest with you. So I was surprised there. He's a good quarterback. You always worry. I think I mentioned this during several podcasts. When you go down, you look at that height, weight. I mean that height in the on the combine sheet. That 6 foot sticks out. You know.
Yep.
You kind of wonder how his personality is going to mesh with somebody like a Todd Haley. Maybe Todd Haley wanted somebody his own size. Maybe he wanted somebody from Oklahoma to teach him how to ride a bull at the Tequila Cowboy.
Yeah.
No, I'm having fun with that there. Look, I mean, his tape is exciting. There's no.
I'm with you. Look, here's the thing. Is, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you hope he becomes Drew Brees. The personality stuff and off the field stuff. People are worried about this. Do you want this, or do you want Martavis Bryant off the field stuff? I mean, this is what you want. This is a guy's competitor. He's fiery. I think the Johnny Manziel comparisons are misguided. I might prove to be wrong. You know, people are bashing Josh Rosen for being too intellectual and, you know, Baker Mayfield for being too fiery and whatever. Come on, man. These guys are, you know, it's hard. You're evaluating 20-year-old guys. It's hard. Now, Mayfield's 23, Darnold's 20. There's something to be said about that and all, you know, those types of things. But the best, you know, if you read, you know, obviously Dave and I spend a lot of time trying to read as much as we can so that we're educated on these things. The best predictor of future success is really kind of accuracy and completion percentage and being able to throw into tight windows. And Baker Mayfield did that. It's not a question. He was clearly of the five guys drafted in round one. He was clearly the best guy of the group. It's a bold pick. It's not the safe pick. I like the pick, man. I hope he does great in Cleveland. I hope he does great.
When you look at that, remember we talked about that Bill Parcells 7. Looks like he met all seven, him and Mason Rudolph. So this will be a good study for the old Bill Parcells, you know, seven things, you know, for grading or for rating a quarterback ahead of a draft. 3 years at a, you know, 3 years at a starter. Yes, he has that. Was he a senior? Yes. Did he graduate? Yes. Did he start 30 games? Yes. Did he win 23 games or more? Yes. TD to interception ratio at least 2-1. Yes. Completion percentage over 60%. Yes. I mean, outside of his size, you know.
Well, right. If he were 6'3", we wouldn't be having a conversation, right?
Right. And look, I think if there was probably any quarterback in this draft, right, after the pick's made, that you look back and you say, is there one quarterback of all this, top five, six, however you want to say it, that you know exactly what you're getting? It'd probably be Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah, I think you do. So I have a little bit of a relationship with Daniel Jeremiah, who, if you're a hardcore NFL fan, you know, Path to the Draft, NFL Network, and Daniel was on my show before he was famous. He and I were, he was a regular guest on my show. And I texted him in October, and I said, you know, is Baker Mayfield a first-round pick? And you got to remember, coming into his senior year, Baker Mayfield was seen as a third or fourth round pick. And I'd watched enough of his early stuff. You know, obviously, you know, some of these early games, he was off the charts. And, you know, I felt like he was going to be a top 15 guy. And Daniel said, you know, he's 15 to 45. I don't know where he's going to go. I haven't studied the tape just early on. He said, clearly he's moving up. And we saw how the season went. We see where things end. And this, you know, a little bit of this is a bit of an indictment on Darnold and Rosen because, you know, as I said 6 months ago and everybody else was saying, it's clearly, you know, those two guys are going to go 1-2, and it's just a question of which order. And the reality is neither of those guys had a great year. Darnold just turned the ball over way too much. Rosen had, some issues and didn't play as well as some people expected. And so, okay, those guys move. But the funny, as I said at the top of the show, the fun thing is you're going to get – everybody's going to be able to see Baker Mayfield. He's the first pick in the draft. And then if you're living in New York, you got two teams playing in the same stadium, and you had the question of do you take the quarterback, your next 10-year guy, even though you have a guy who's won two Super Bowls and whatever, or do you take the running back who maybe makes that quarterback better and all that stuff? So you get one. They're both going to play in the same stadium, and you get to watch them both. So I did the top of the draft was very interesting and very entertaining. And then the Browns obviously surprised big time, taking the corner at 4 instead of Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, and Denzel Ward meet Antonio Brown. welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Game one.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is a guy, I guess, that technically is going to be the one to replace Joe Hayden, right? in Cleveland, in so many words there. I'm not so sure I wouldn't have gone with the Bradley Chubb, there at that point. Or, I mean, look, I mean, you want to even kind of a safer now there, depending on how you view their offensive line. You know, Quentin Nelson probably the easiest read to guard out of Notre Dame as far as guys that you would think are slam dunk, 10-year all-pro offensive lineman in this league if you wanted to go safe there. But, they had a need at cornerback there. So, John Dorsey, yeah, I mean, he's getting right after it. So, Baker Mayfield will be interesting to see how quickly – they try to get him on the field. I still expect Tyrod Taylor to open the season.
No doubt. I think it went from, Tyrod Taylor is going to start the first 4 games, and then after that we'll see what goes on. But I'd be shocked. Two things. One is I'd be shocked if Baker Mayfield started game 1, and I would be shocked if Baker Mayfield didn't start any games this year.
True.
Okay, so the draft goes on. Josh Allen, Buffalo doing crazy stuff. Josh Allen goes at 7. Roquan Smith, no big surprise. We assumed that he was going to go in the top 10. He goes at 8 to the Bears. The Cardinals, everybody talked about it. They move up and get Rosen at 10. So now you've seen the 4 big name quarterbacks go. The Saints at 14, a little bit of a head scratcher. So the Saints move up to 14. You had to be shocked. I mean, I assume you were shocked. I was shocked that was the pick. They moved up, and that was the pick.
Yeah, you think that they're going to go up, they're going to get a quarterback.
A quarterback or an offensive player. I mean, just shot. I mean, was anybody else taking him? I mean, did you need to go to 14 to get Marcus Davenport?
Small. Look, I mean, he's a talented kid, but small school. They're really banking that he's going to be able to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I skipped over Tampa Bay. I gave them the highest mark, a huge mark in the first round because everybody assumed they were going to take Derwin James at 7, and so they move back to 12 and they get 2 second round picks. So I'm like, wow, that's unbelievable. They're gonna get their guy at 12 and get 2 second round picks, and then they surprise everybody taking Vita Vea.
Yeah, and that guy is going to fit in right fine, I think, on that defensive line.
Yeah, and they got guys there. Raiders go offensive line to help their guy. So then, I think the picks, if you're a Steeler fan, the picks 16 through 19 are obviously worth talking about. We talked about the inside backers. We knew Roquan Smith was going to be gone. Nobody quite knew where Tremaine Edwards was going to go, but I think the perception was he was going to be a top 12 pick. So he falls down to 16 and goes to Buffalo. They have a need there. San Diego probably gets in terms of people's evaluation of value. Derwin James is a wonderful pick there. Jared, we talked about Alexander, and as you said on the podcast last week, if there's a corner the Steelers are going to pick in the first round, none of us thought they were going to take a corner. But if there is one, you liked Alexander. He goes way high on a trade as the Packers move up. And then our boy Leighton Vander Esch goes 19 to the Cowboys. Were you surprised that Vander Esch went in the top 20, yes or no?
Somebody's going to correct you that you called them the San Diego Chargers.
that's why I changed it to the Chargers.
Am I surprised Leighton Vander Esch went to the Cowboys? No.
Well, are you surprised he went in the top 20?
No, if there were two teams, I thought. Look, I in my first round mock that I released yesterday, and of course my Steelers mock where I took Justin Reed in the first round, I envisioned those four linebackers going off the board, ahead of the Steelers pick there. If there was one team that I thought Leighton Vander Esch had to make it past, it was Dallas. There was the rumblings for several weeks now, that the Cowboys were enamored with Leighton Vander Esch. Read into whatever you want to about the neck and all like that, and this side says nothing wrong, this side says there is something wrong. Mike Mayock has been powering that the last couple of days about cervical and teams having them off the board. In a word, no, I'm not surprised Leighton Vander Esch landed with Dallas. And then at that point, and really a couple of picks before that, I tweeted out Dallas and Tennessee,
yeah, sure. Tennessee, you knew, was probably going in that direction.
Are going to be the two hurdles for the two remaining linebackers. And as it turned out, both of them, obviously Cowboys taking Vander Esch and then Tennessee taking Rashawn Evans.
Yeah, so our guys, you know, the guys I had as the Steelers' two picks, they're off the board there. We see Frank Ragnow is a guy who probably now, again, it doesn't mean he wasn't on the Lions board at all the time at this level. But in terms of, I think, what analysts were thinking, there wasn't any buzz around this guy. He was not in anybody's first-round mock a month ago. He goes screaming up the board. So the Lions take him, and then the Bengals, they go. You get centers go back-to-back here. And, you know, it's not a sexy pick for the Bengals, but we've talked about what the Bengals need more than anything. Their offensive line play the past couple of years has been a disaster. They've got the offensive weapons. They went receiver and running back both in the first round last year. You know, whatever you want to think about Andy Dalton, they re-signed Tyler Eifert. So they've got the offensive weapons. They had to make the offensive line. They got to make the offensive line better. So the choice there for them, it makes sense. Whether you, again, if you like the player, you don't like the player, whatever. The positionally, it makes sense. And then, as you say, I think everybody in the world had the Titans taking a linebacker, you know, whoever was left on the board that they liked. So now it's off. So we're at pick 23, Dave. What was your next thought after both those guys are off the board? Were you now thinking, Justin, were you thinking, okay, the Steelers are going safety? Or because of the Bryant trade, was the world open?
The thought did cross my mind that maybe they would look at a wide receiver, but there's a reason I think why at that point receivers were coming off the board, other than I think Moore.
Not at that point.
Moore and Ridley. Moore went.
Up at that point when Rashawn Evans went at 22, no receivers off the board.
Right, and it did creep into your mind. Do you really? Look, the top of the wide receiver class this year was kind of meh.
Okay? Right, and it really depended on what you thought of Calvin Ridley, and I wasn't a huge fan. And then nobody else. I mean, nobody was screaming top 15 pick. And I think you probably have. You have 15 guys you can talk about from, 30 to 70. You have 15 guys in there, but like you said, nobody separated themselves of the group. I don't think.
Now the other 75% of me was rubbing my hands together, thinking I'm going to hit this Justin Reed mock pick.
Well, I think that you've yet. I mean, that's right. And so, okay, just to roll through it here, the Patriots. You know, I think one of the big surprises was the Patriots didn't move with their two picks. And they take two Georgia kids, and they win. Look, they lose Solder, so they head off. They need on the offensive line, so they went need Carolina. You know, they made the trade last year. You know, DJ Moore. Okay, they get their choice of receivers. They pick their guy. I have to say, the Ravens pick here at 25 surprised me a little bit. I thought that's absolutely where Lamar Jackson was going to go. Now they've traded back. They're sitting at 25, and they take a tight end. Dave, they need to add to the offensive weapons clearly to this team. Did that pick surprise you?
It did a little bit. I mean, look, he's a talented kid, of course. And you probably familiar with him too, being the time he spent in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization and all like that. But this is an older kid too. Okay. One of the older players in this year's draft at that. talented kid, but, you know, is he going to be a 10, 12-year guy for you? And, boy, the
Of course not. Yeah, no, not with that age. I mean, look, help me out. I'm drawing a complete blank on the great tight end for the Ravens for 10 years.
Heap.
Yeah, Todd Heap. I mean, obviously, this is what, you know, Heath Miller, Todd Heap, they're taking their shot that he's the next one.
But here's the thing. Boy, this team has really had some problems with the tight end position, right? With Pitta and Max Williams.
Pitta's a great player who, you know, just, you know, hips and just couldn't stand. I think Pitta was the equivalent of the two guys we just mentioned, but unfortunately couldn't stay healthy. And Max never worked out. And that was, you know, we talked about the Steelers taking him coming out of Minnesota. Just a guy who never lived up to it. The Falcons go Ridley, so they get their guy next to Julio, you know, gives Matt Ryan another weapon. That's probably a good pairing there. And then I think maybe the most surprising pick of the first round is that, or one of them, maybe it was the next one, but one of them, Rashad Penny going as the second running back. I think a lot of people like Rashad Penny as a mid-second round pick. I don't think anybody saw him as the second back off the board.
Yeah, and trading up to get him at that, right?
Right.
Or wait.
They traded back. Yeah, they traded with Green Bay. So
okay, yeah. So you trade back. Okay, I'm fine with the trade back portion of it. But don't they need offensive line help there?
and you really would have thought that that's where they were going. They didn't. All right, so here we are. Let's finish the first round. We'll go to talk Steelers. No view on the Jags adding a defensive tackle. Taven Bryan, I don't have any view on him. The Vikings get talented, but you know you got issues with the corner situation. They add to that defense. Seems like a good pick for the Vikings, but your character issues. Deal with that how you want. Patriots, no real surprise. Sonny Michel, kind of have to like. I think people, Patriots fans, probably like that pick. And then you know you heard me talk about saying Lamar Jackson would go in the top 15 picks. Obviously, I got that wrong big time. But I'm not at all surprised somebody traded into the first round to get him. I love the pick. We talked about it, you know, way back when about the Ravens completely revamping what they're going to – the Ravens completely revamping what they're going to do going forward and Lamar Jackson being the guy. Who is the starting quarterback day one 2019 for the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, hard to think that it might not be Lamar Jackson, right?
I mean, I think 100%. This is Joe Flacco's last season.
Joe Flacco had to play his you know what off, and even if he does, that doesn't, you know, maybe they just use that and try to deal him or whatever.
Yeah, Alex Smith all over again, right?
Yeah, that kind of thing there. So yeah, I mean, you got that much invested, and especially considering how you know what Flacco has left on his contract, he might be start searching out real estate agents.
Okay, so in the middle of all that, the Steelers at 28 go Terrell Edmunds, and look to me, so I'm watching the picks come, and you know you talked about Reed. To me, there were two guys on the board all of a sudden that, you know, I had mentioned Cortland Sutton. That came into play for me as, okay, it's kind of a plug and play. That's your guy. Maybe it's not great value at 28. A lot of people had him going high, you know, in the middle of the first round, being the second receiver off the board. They didn't go that way. The other guy who I thought was in play all of a sudden was Harold Landry. And, you know, it's – You can argue certainly it's not a position of need like safety or inside linebacker, but you say okay, value at 28, Harold Landry could be a guy, you know, if Bud Dupree doesn't pan out or whatever, at least you got three guys you can play in rotationally, and maybe you like a little more of a rotation instead of guys playing 90% of the snaps. Those were the two guys who were on my mind. Terrell Edmunds, the first I heard of him was when Dave T talked about him. When he was talking about him as a third round pick, he said, you know, real value in the third round. I'll just flat out. It surprised me, Dave. The pick surprised me.
Surprised me as well, David Todd. Really, really did. And Even after the fact, when you start filling out the checklist of all the boxes, underclassmen, 21 years old, great character, great family, football bloodline, sparky, Colbert likes a spark, high spark, 138.7, something like that, spark number, just a phenomenal off the chart athleticism with this guy. Colbert and Tomlin and I think Butler and Jerry Olsofsky all at his pro day. So if you wanted a Power 5 conference guy, go down the list. He checked a lot of boxes, except for the fact that a lot of people, and we'll get into this, a lot of people viewed him as a second to third round, a day two guy. I had him as, now full disclosure, I watched 150 snaps on him. I don't know if I saw his best games or his worst games, what have you, all in 2017. I had him as a second to third round guy. You could make very strong arguments if you would have put him in your mock in the second round. Probably not too many people would have batted that much of an eye at that. If you would have probably put him in the first round in your mock, people would have thought you lost your skull. More than likely. I understand. I certainly understand people calling it a reach. I understand that aspect of it. Now, do you hate the player? Do you hate where he was selected? Or do you hate both?
Yeah, that's the question. And I don't think anybody's going to go out and say they hate the player. It's just, was it a value pick at that point? And so here's my question. The Baltimore Ravens called New England and made a deal they called Philadelphia, I guess. I don't know who, 32. Anyway, Baltimore trades back into the round. I wonder if they called the Steelers. And you have to think – now, again, you have to look at where Baltimore's pick was. But I wonder if anybody called the Steelers, and it just goes back to my question. They now got their third with Martavis. So for me, they filled the need of – you created a hole. So you didn't actually – in creating a hole, you still had more needs to fill. But if somebody had said, the Steelers, you can move back 10 picks. Do you still think you'll get your guy? And the answer is – I have to think I don't know if anybody called the Steelers, but I have to think if they're picking in the top 10 picks of the second round, they could have gotten Terrell Edmonds. And you wonder if anybody called and said, we'd like to get into the first round. Do you want to move back? And we'll give you, a third round pick. I'm guessing here and I'm playing devil's advocate, but man, if that phone call was made and they said no, I have to think they would have gotten their guy, 10 picks later.
And look, we don't know what happened. People always like to say, oh, you can always trade up or trade down. They say they say that, but we don't know what the cost is. We don't know what happens behind closed doors. I mean, it sounds all good when you put it on a podcast and in a blog post or on Twitter, but you just don't know what was offered there or even if they would have wanted to. Now, there are reports out there since last night that the Steelers tried to trade up for Rashawn Evans. Kevin Colbert during a press conference last night said something to the effect that, that's what you assume when kind of point blank asked about that. Will we ever know for sure? I don't know. Here's the thing. We talk every offseason, David, about Kevin Colbert and want and need and intersection of just so happens where the player they pick.
He always says best player available, and it always comes down to position of need. It happens to coincide.
And every player is a player they want, okay? Do you remember me asking you the other day, do you really think there's 150 players on that draft board?
We talked about that, and I think there are. Yeah.
Or is there 50 that are circled and the other 100 are just break glass in case of emergency? Now, if we are to believe best player available regardless of position, does that mean on the Steelers board that Terrell Edmonds was the 28th ranked player?
I sure as hell don't think so.
You wouldn't think so, would you?
No.
I mean,
no, but... no, you know, and I've always dismissed Kevin's comments about, look, Kevin does exactly the right thing. He does exactly what, you know, I don't want to say what I would do because I would do what Kevin does. I think he does exactly the right thing. He says, you know, it's public. You're disseminating information to the public, man. I'm not here to show you what I have in my hole cards. This is a bit of a game, and you know you got to decide if I'm bluffing or not. But I'm going to be consistent with what I say, and he's consistent with what he says. He's a good manager. He's got great track record of success at what he does. And again, just don't read too much into anything he says. Read into what actually happens, and don't even read too much into that because, again, even though Kevin Colbert's been the GM since 2001 or whatever the year is, the sample size, even though it sounds like a long time because, you know, the lifespan of NFL general managers is so short, sample size of 17 is a small sample size. It's not enough to draw large conclusions from. So on anybody who's in this business, you cannot use past history. You can look. Of course, you should look at past history, but you can't use past history and make solid conclusions just because it's just too small. And honest to God, nobody believes me when I say this. But I think they said in order to have a really robust sample size for a general manager and a coach, they have to make like 400 drafts. Okay, well, clearly nobody's making 400 drafts. So it's a bit of a crapshoot. You use the information you have. We love talking about it. I'm telling you, the top of the draft was so much damn fun last night because John Dorsey was a little bit out of the box. He didn't show his cards, and it was left everybody guessing. But it makes it so much more fun. And, you know, guys weren't breaking picks, and it was high entertainment. The Steelers didn't do what people expected. And so, A, it wasn't sexy with the pick. The guys that, you know, most of us put as the highest candidates were off the board, which really hasn't happened to the Steelers lately. So they didn't have a choice to pick the guys that we thought they would pick because they were gone. And then all of a sudden they pick a guy that who gives a damn what a bunch of, you know, as you say, YouTube analysts and guys in their mother's basements think. They took a guy they like, but it wasn't the guy that people expected or had ranked that high. So it leaves people scratching their heads. And it gives us, you know, obviously ton of fodder to talk about.
Yeah, Mom, I want the meatloaf. Meatloaf.
Don Clayton on his bed.
We throw out the proverbial he checks a lot of boxes. You know, that's something you hear 32 teams, you know, every year during a draft. He checks a lot of boxes. When it comes to the Steelers, they have a lot of boxes that they like to check. You go back to through 2000, you can create quite a streak, you know, quite a few streaks of these boxes. The Power Five guys, the Sparky guys, the good family, good character guys, we got to be at your pro day guys. You got to be versatile guys. We could go on and on. Does Kevin Colbert have too many boxes for these guys to check?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you make your own list and check it twice and, you know, do your own due diligence. We assume that these are the boxes that we talk about. But look, they picked the guy they liked there. And there were a lot of good football players on the board. There are guys who, like I say, that were more prominently featured really in mock drafts and other people talking about. At the end of the day, we're going to find out the answer to this pick 2 years from now when in 2020 Edmonds is, you know, a regular on a good Steeler defense or he's not. And that's going to be the evaluation. And we're still trying to figure it out with Artie Burns and Sean Davis, who looked like, you know, after the end of the first year that they were really good picks. And, you know, at the end of the second year, we're scratching our head a little bit and saying, were they really good picks? And we're going to, you know, if Edmonds turns out to be Troy Polamalu, you know, after who didn't have a great rookie season, but after his second season, you knew that you had a potential star. Oh, that'll be the answer. But, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about the process they went through. And it leaves us sitting here. Now, let's get into this, Dave. What is his role on the 2018 Steeler defense?
All right. First of all, let's talk about the player and get his measurables out there. 6 foot, 6 foot and a half, 217 pounds. Obviously went to Virginia Tech, where his younger brother also went. The linebacker there just turned 21, I think, back in January there. This is a player that I think played in 37 games, started 31 during his career at Virginia Tech, 182 total tackles, 1.5 sacks, I think, 20 passes defensed. He had 6 interceptions. I have those up on SteelersDepot.com this morning if you want to take a look at those. Moved around a lot in that defense. He played strong safety. He played free safety. He played dime backer, a little bit in the slot. I mean, nickelback, you name, just like Justin Reed, he moved around quite a bit in that defense there. Great measurables, as we said. Ran what 4.47 at the combine. Did the other Olympic kind of stuff and filled out and had a very high P-Spark score there. Now, he did miss. He injured left shoulder. I think of a labrum during camp last year. Played through it. Bless his heart. Had the shoulder in a strap. Until he just couldn't bear it anymore, and then had to miss 3-4 games or whatever it was at the end of the season to have that surgery. Supposed to be okay for the off season. He better be okay for the off season program and all that goes along with that. Now, where does he fit? I think you can get him out there in the dime. And I thought Alex Kozora attacked this thing nicely this morning in a post. And by the way, Alex, you know, kind of considers it a reach. Wasn't expecting it. All that kind of stuff as well too. Alex attacked it from the standpoint that he can offer the Steelers in their dime package something that William Gay couldn't.
Right. Let's be very. So I was just thinking before you said that. You know. Do you want to have William Gay playing this role, or do you want to have a 21-year-old guy coming in, a fresh? It's not William Gay,
and it's not Robert Golden.
Damn right, it's not Robert Golden,
and it's not Mike Mitchell,
and it's not moving. Now I think we know it's not moving Cam Sutton or Brian Allen to safety. So we know that now that book is closed.
Right. So. You can get him. You can automatically carve out a couple hundred snaps or more for him, depending on how quick he learns. He is a proverbial smart player, aren't they all? I think he called the defense some in the back end at Virginia Tech. He moved all around. Now, you would think that you're going to get him down, you know. Probably down low initially. Now, here's the thing about grading him last year and really overall. You have now the chore, and what my chore is and Alex's chore to do is to go back through all of his tape from last year, the two previous years, and find out, you know, where his exact strengths were and where, and put that in you know how he would be able to mesh into the Steelers defense, and really the Steelers are probably going to do this as well. How good was is this a guy that can start off initially in the box and then because of his range and experience eventually move on the back end? Is he a guy that you're just going to move around regardless? I mean, Kevin Colbert gave us a small hint right before this draft as to the kind of safety, even though it wasn't surprising what he said, but he put it out there as far as a draft pick and what he was looking for in a safety. He wants one that can play free. He wants one that can play strong. He wants one that can go down into the slot for a matchup. Because if you have just a safety that's, you know, just plays well in the box or just plays good in the slot or just plays good on the back end, teams will find a way to exploit what, the one time that you rotate that guy down in the box and he's a free safety, opposing offensive coordinators will
tear it apart.
That's their job. Okay.
Yeah. So a couple things here. One is, so like I said, we closed the book now on Cam Sutton and Brian Allen moving to safety. Good. We're done with that. Two, Tom Bradley's got some pull in that damn room. The boy's been there 1 year as a professional coach. He gets first round pick. Good for Tom. I'll see if I can get a little insight from Tom over the next week. Three, is J.J. Wilcox on the team next week?
Oh yeah, I'm going to write about that later today. You don't want him doing any jump rope in the facility or walking the stairs. They got an elevator over there. They got more, take the, I would get one of them stair lifts. in fact, you know what?
Get him a medical cart.
You know, these players get the, the 190 or what is it during the off-season workouts for every day, you know, that for every day that they show up and all as part of their workout pay and all like that. I'd pay them that $195 to stay at the house.
stay in bed.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like, how soon are they going to cut them?
It might be Monday.
Monday?
It might be Monday, David.
What would you say the odds are that he goes to St. Vincent? 10%, 20%, or 50%?
Near zero.
Right. You gotta think.
Unless you go to him right now and says, "Do you want you gotta take a pay cut to the minimum?"
Right. I can't see him. They can't pay him $3.1 million. You know why? Because they got to go find a free agent wide receiver, and they're going to have to pay somebody. So they cleared some money with Bryant. They cleared some money with J.J. Wilcox. Look, somebody's going to bring this up. And I don't want to make it sound like it's zero. I don't think there's any chance the Steelers sign Dez Bryant. He doesn't fit in the cap. He doesn't fit for a lot of reasons, and maybe he's not even that good. But I do think a free agent wide receiver is – Kevin had to spend part of yesterday and part of the last month scouring that list and making sure they knew who, and I haven't looked at it at all, so I don't even know who I'm potentially discussing, but somebody's going to get signed.
You'd have to think it would be a guy that can help some on special teams, a guy that can stretch the field, and a guy willing to play for the minimum, right? I mean,
yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't looked at the list, but there are guys out there and somebody's coming to camp. And again, you know, put Eli Rogers back in the team photo because he's going to be on the Steelers roster. You know, depending on how the draft goes, I think Eli Rogers is back in the picture. And apparently he's, you know, his rehab's going pretty well. So,
let me ask you this. Do you ask Marcus Wheaton if he wants to come back to compete for the minimum?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly the right answer. You know, that's exactly the type of guy. Now, you know, Marcus Wheaton, you know, I think maybe I loved him more than you did, but you know how much I loved Manny, and we love these guys for the same reason, is because they're aggressive in the blocking game. Marcus Wheaton, you know, he had one game in Seattle when Richard Sherman shut down Antonio Brown and he got, you know, 200 plus yards receiving. Marcus Wheaton has the potential. He's not going to cost anything. You know who he is. So yeah, you know, bring Marcus Wheaton to camp. I don't know that he's going to make the team, but I honestly like Marcus Wheaton better than Hunter, and, you know, probably better than DHB.
At least he's a good kid and he'll block for you, and he can occasionally return a kickoff maybe for you, and probably knows, still remembers a little bit of the. I mean, if you're
that's a really good name. That's a good name. And so there are five guys like that out there. Pick the one you like best. It might be the one you know. Maybe it's the one you don't. But I expect that to happen in the next week.
I mean, it's not going to be Brandon Marshall. It's not going to be Dez Bryant. It's not going to be Jeremy Maclin. Too much age on him. He's kind of too fragile. And of course, you could say the same thing about Marcus Wheaton right now. I don't know. Is Eric Decker signed?
That would be an interesting name. All of a sudden, you know, you wonder, is Juju. The nice thing about Juju here is so young and you can play him inside and you can play him outside. So you don't need to necessarily find an outside or a slot guy. You can move obviously you can move AB around however you like, but you can do that with Juju as well. So you're not pigeonholed into a slot receiver or a guy who's not a slot receiver.
Here's a name for you, Dontrell Inman.
From San Diego? Was he in San Diego last year?
I think he's a free agent right now. Chicago last year, I think, over there. I can't remember if he's coming off of. I think he's a free agent. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think he is. I mean, he's a height guy, you know. If you're looking for, he's like 6'3" or something like that. Been around since 2011, and probably willing to do some dirty work. I don't know his special teams background or anything like that. Ran a 4.47 at the 40, so maybe he's a guy, you know.
Yeah. So we'll get into this more, but start thinking about guys who you're looking for on that front, and of course. I'm just looking at his age. He's 29. He's not a young guy. He spent his time with the Chargers at the time. Just career receptions. I'm just pulling up the stats. You know, his big season, best season was 2016. He had 58 catches for 800 yards, 4 TDs. This is exactly the type of guy where, you know, he's Marcus Wheaton. So we'll get more into this when we have a chance to break into it. So that's we off-tracked off J.J. Wilcox and how Edmonds is going to fit into the defense, coming full circle back around. Okay, so now let's talk about day two.
Real quick about Edmonds. Pro Football Focus, almost 600 snaps. I think they have him down for 5 missed tackles. What doesn't he do well? You know, some bad angles at times, I think. Maybe getting turned around at times in pass coverage there. Not a perfect player. Maybe doesn't always react quickly enough to what he sees. Here's the thing. The Steelers need to find out what he – you know, they probably already know what he does well, what they think they can correct on him and start moving him in that direction. Once again, here's where I am on him and why at the top of the show I said I'm right there at that medium okay. I don't mind the player. I just – mind where he was taken, I think. I think he's got upside. I think he's got I think he can play like a first rounder potentially. And I'm no way going to grade this pick right now until I watch these 13 other games that I downloaded on him and get, you know, 16 season under my belt as well too. I'm right in the middle of the road with him, and I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment. Like I said, I don't mind the player. I just have a problem where he was taken.
Okay. As most of you know, I'm down in Texas. If anybody's in Austin wants to say hello, give me a shout. I've got about 15 minutes here. Let's talk about day two, how we set up and what we look at at the top of the draft. You know, Mason, you know, the 5 quarterbacks did go. I think in general, what we saw was a little bit of, you know, going by position, the quarterbacks, I think for most people, they expected 5 went. Running backs, a little bit of a surprise. Not that Sonny Michel went 31. I think a lot of people had that, but that Rashard Penny went in there. So it leaves Geis, Chubb, the rest of the crew on the board, and I imagine Geis isn't going to last very long here at the top of the second round. Wide receivers, Cortland Sutton and the rest of them, we're going to see a lot of wide receivers here go in the second and the third round. You know, the tight ends, We only saw one go, and there's obviously big questions about whether Goddard out of South Dakota State, and then Andrews and Gesicki, these guys are going to be around. You got to imagine one of those guys is going to be around when the Steelers pick in the second round. And then, we can go through defensive, I would assume defensive back is now off the board for the Steelers, and the focus is going to be linebackers and defensive line if they're looking on the defensive side of the ball. So, Dave, what's your view here as we go into day two?
I think you could see a slot corner at some point, David. And really now they have this extra third round pick, a guy like MJ Stewart or a guy like Duke Dawson out of Florida. I think Duke Dawson is more of their guy, and I think potentially they might have their eye on Duke Dawson, a slot corner out of Florida, in the third round. He's a guy
What about Cam Sutton? I mean, you got your two starters. You got Mike Hilton. You got Cam Sutton. You got Brian Allen. Are you taking that over, all the other, just the front seven guys?
I think you look at Duke Dawson as a guy that could provide depth in the slot past this year. Okay, because we don't know what's going to happen with Joe Hayden past this year. Is Cameron Sutton going to be your starting cornerback in 2019 in place?
I would assume so. Yes.
All right. If he's your starting cornerback outside in place of Joe Hayden in 2019, we're going to assume Artie Burns is going to be on the other side in 2019. We're going to assume Mike Hilton sticks around for a little bit. We're going to assume that really there's no. We don't know what Brian Allen is. I mean, let's face it. We don't really know what Brian Allen is.
If they draft a corner, he's probably not making the team. Well, he might not make the team.
No, remember, you have a hole here. You let William Gay go, and Cody Sensabaugh is not a lock for this roster.
All right. Then that's the question. You draft a corner here in the first in with your second or third pick. One of those two guys is definitely not making it. One of them definitely not making it.
Right. It's probably going to be Cody Sensabaugh.
You would think.
You could save a little bit of money there. Duke Dawson's probably already a better special teams player.
Okay, so I don't think they're going to go defensive back. So what else are you looking at?
Wide receiver, most definitely. I mean,
so would you say 100% the Steelers take a wide receiver today?
Yeah, I'm afraid to speak in absolutes anymore. I live in Vegas. 90,
okay, I'll go 98. I'm in. If Cortland Sutton's there with pick 58 or wherever the Steelers are picking 60, I'm taking him.
What percentage?
A 98.
I want to go one more louder than you.
Okay, 99.
All right, I'll go one more louder than you. 99% sure the Steelers will take a wide receiver Friday night. The names, boy, Anthony Miller out of Memphis. Boy, our boy Randy Feetner knows a lot about Anthony Miller.
I'm sure he does. You're right.
Anthony Miller's a little bit older though, 23, going to be 24, I think, in another 4 months or so. He's a name to watch. Christian Kirk out of Texas A&M, really. I hate to use the checks in a lot of boxes, but
he can be your return guy as well.
Right, he can help you out on some return stuff. DJ Chark is a guy. Maybe I fell too much in love with him, but with that said, everybody says DJ Chark's going to be off the board by the end of the second round. But here's the thing, David, he had less than 70 career receptions at LSU.
Yeah, well, it's because you don't have a quarterback and get him the ball for his entire career.
Well, he only played two seasons, too, and I think he's something like a one-year starter. He is a height, weight, speed guy. You want to talk about checking boxes when it comes to the Steeler character, the whole nine yards. DJ Chark is that guy. Only caught 40 passes. He 6'2", 7'8", 199. Nice 40 time, 4.34. A little raw. I mean, a lot raw. But, boy, there's a lot there to work with, I think. And the Steelers, I think, met with him at the Senior Bowl. I think they like him. They were at LSU Pro Day. They had the dinner, yada, yada. Don't sleep on DJ Chark. Don't sleep on James Washington out of Oklahoma State.
I'm a fan there. James Washington, I like it. Not a burner, but a really productive college guy.
Plays faster than his time speed. Like that Juju, he's a combative catch guy, real good character. Maybe all that hoopla, maybe that picture of Mike Tomlin making googly eyes at
Mason Rudolph. He was looking at James Washington.
Maybe he's looking through him at James Washington. We don't know that. I didn't take that picture. You didn't take that picture. You weren't there. Maybe. I don't think you can discount James Washington. Dante Pettis out of the University of Washington. I think there's a little bit of you know, maybe he's a little fascination there. How about Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State, David?
I wonder if he's the second or third round guy. But again, he's a guy who's going to go somewhere between, 45 and by the time the Steelers pick in the third round, for sure. He's another guy in there. There's a good group there. You mentioned some good names that are definitely on the list. And one of those guys is the Steelers are going with one of those picks in the next, tonight.
Yeah, and Jamon Moore is another one Alex had added to his list as well, too. I think Alex and I share a lot of these names here, but those make a lot of sense. And don't forget about my Russell Gage kid out of LSU. I think now there's a good chance he'll take two wide receivers during this.
I think it does depend on how you look at the tight end position. If you take an Andrews or a Gesicki, you're not drafting an inline blocker. You're not drafting, we don't look at Jesse James as an inline blocker. He's sufficient, but not necessarily his thing. It'd be interesting if the Steelers go tight end, if they look at a guy who they're looking for more in the Heath Miller mold or more in the Jimmy Graham mold of, being a pass catcher.
All right, what other positions are played today? I think obviously maybe still an inside line.
They got to take a linebacker, right? I mean, they're going to take. Yeah, I mean, I think they have to look inside. But again, you talked about it. You mentioned Kevin talked about it. Not being high guys. We saw four guys go in the top 22 picks. I have to say, you know this much better than I do. I don't know where the depth is now at that position.
I think now you're looking at a lot of either two down players, one down players, specialist kind of guys. I mean, I'll rattle off some names for you. Fred Warner out of BYU, Malik Jefferson out of Texas, Darius Leonard out of South Carolina State, Shaquem Griffin. Hey.
Yep. Everybody knows who he is out of Central Florida. People know the backstory on that. Clearly a great athlete, high energy, high character guy. Be interesting.
Jannard Avery, a real intriguing kid out of Memphis there. Jerome Baker, a skinny, more athletic, probably a third down guy out of Ohio State. Joel Igbenogbe out of Western Kentucky. The Steelers, I think, have a little bit of interest in him. Matthew Thomas out of Florida State there. So I think one of these guys that we just named might end up being hearing their name called by the Steelers. And of course, if you want maybe a shot at a back, I think it's too early for a defensive line guy right now, but maybe BJ Hill, as Alex points out in his post today, maybe at some point he gets in play there. But you would think wide receiver, inside linebacker, and I think maybe a slot cornerback. David, I think those could be the three positions that we're talking about. Now, you have two third round picks too. Might they put those together?
No, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Go up or
that needs. So look, I like I said, I'm thrilled that they got another pick in the draft here. And they did well on the Martavis Bryant thing. Let's touch on the Ryan Shazier thing. And look, I'm going to say something, and this is going to rub some people the wrong way. So the obvious caveat, I think everybody's wishing the best for Ryan Shazier. I mean, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it because I know what I'm going to say next is going to maybe upset some people. Right. I want Ryan Shazier to be healthy. If you're a praying person, you pray that Ryan Shazier has a fully functional life and man, maybe someday gets back on the football field. We'll see how that all goes. What is surprising to me is Ryan Shazier got injured playing tackle football because he didn't do something correctly. He tackled incorrectly and unfortunately he suffered the consequences of his actions. It shocks me that Ryan Shazier is being celebrated as much as he is. The NFL has done an amazing PR job of something that is the poster of what is dangerous about football to being something that is absolutely celebrated, that this guy is actually able to walk. It is a massively fantastic PR job by the NFL. But, you know, Ryan Shazier is all the things that are dangerous about football, and yet Ryan Shazier walking on stage is something that they're highlighting as a great thing for the NFL. It's really – I think it's just a really interesting it's a really interesting microcosm of how, you know, society looks at things and looks at the sport.
You trying to say kind of a puppet or no?
I'm Ryan Shazier is at the Ohio State Pro Days, at the Penguin Games. He's doing all these things. People are, you know, standing and applauding Ryan Shazier. But at the same time, everybody's talking about CTE and the dangers of football and all those things. And nobody puts these two things together. Ryan Shazier represents all the dangers of football. But it's being celebrated that he's able to walk. It's odd. I want the best for Ryan Shazier. It's just odd that it's a – I mean, I get the celebration that he's healthy. You obviously have some thoughts about it as well, so I'll let you take it from here.
Are you saying it should be out of sight, out of mind?
I don't know that it should be celebrated. It doesn't have to be out of – I'm not looking to put it in a corner and not talk about it. I think it should be talked about. But it seems like it's talked about for maybe the wrong reasons.
You know, on my site in the comments and on Twitter, several people have commented saying that was disturbing to watch. I didn't find it disturbing. Look, this is a guy that couldn't move his. Look, if this is something, I'll put it to you this way: if this is something Ryan is wanting to do and asking to do and needing to do as part of his recovery, by God, let him do it. If the league's asking him to do this, if the Steelers are asking him to do this, then shame on them. Okay. He was grimacing. He still needed help. But I mean, how many months removed is he? I don't want to. I guess I can't go where you're going. I guess I can't see your side of things, and I guess I can't see the disturbing remarks either. It's just good to see him making progress is the way I viewed it last night. Now, once again, if he's being puppeted into coerced into any of this, then yeah, I'd probably take a little bit of issue that he should be doing these things on kind of his own time there. But, you know, my first thought was, God bless him, you know. And it really ended at that. But then I was forced to start thinking about these other things that people were saying. Boy, that's disturbing. Man, if there's ever a sign that Ryan Shazier's never going to play another down in the National Football League, we saw it last night. I didn't even go there until – you know, my mind was kind of forced to. So does that, I mean.
Yeah, no. Look, anybody's view on this is fair. And none of us really know the answer. So we're expressing opinions. I know that, you know, my opinion's not going to be shared by everybody and might be distasteful to some. If I'm the NFL, I don't know that a guy who almost, almost was permanently paralyzed because he tackled incorrectly is my poster guy for the league. You know, on draft night, you're bringing out a guy and saying, you know, he let's celebrate this guy because this is a guy who tackled incorrectly and almost, you know, I mean, I guess you could say at some point maybe almost lost his life, but certainly was almost paralyzed. I mean, that's and the NFL's parading him out on their maybe the biggest single night of the year. That's not a game. It just seems odd to me.
Fair enough.
All right, so give me one name, second round pick. I'm gonna go with the guy you mentioned that I had. What wasn't my guy originally? I don't think Cortland Sutton's gonna be there, so I'm gonna go with James Washington. I like that a lot. I like that.
Well, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't go with my mock, right? So I'll go DJ Chark.
Reed's not in play, correct?
Not now. No. I wonder what it is what they didn't like about him. Now, because I mean, you want to talk about checking boxes outside of not having Tomlin and Colbert at his, was it his character? They brought him in for a visit. They did everything but bring him in, go to his pro day, and the Ohio State pro day was the same day. He has some of the same flaws, I think you could say, about Edmonds. Look, he was a little bit more, he was a more productive player. Statistical wise, talk about Reed over Edmonds. There, he was more in that bottom of grade A to grade B kind of classification in mind. I still thought Justin Reed was a second round player. I just thought that because there's not really a lot of grade one players in this draft, you could see him being taken in the first round. I just wonder now what they didn't see in Reed that caused them to bypass him.
All right. Well, everybody check out SteelersDepot.com and get all the latest and greatest stuff from Dave and Alex and everybody else that on all the draft coverage. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning. We'll have two picks to talk about probably, and a lot going on. Three picks to talk about, right? So a lot to talk about tomorrow morning, and we'll get back at it. And enjoy the night. How about the Penguins come back win 3-2?
Boy, what a game that was! I got to just see bits and pieces of it. Obviously, good day for a good day overall for Pittsburgh sports. Even though there was some shock value, a lot of shock value involved. Hey, David, too. I wrote this up the other day. Appreciate all your help during and all my guys' help. And I try to name everybody off in the podcast. In the post, in the pre-draft post yesterday. For tremendous work by my guys, Mark C. and Kazara and all on down the line, and you with the podcast and all like that. It's been a great off season for the podcast and for the site, and I just want to, as we go into this next stage of the off season, I just want to make sure I thank you and send money and thank all my guys there. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button up right navigational bar. I'll talk to you mañana.
As always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.